extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
Ow, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time, presented by AT&T 5G. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, David Goss. And, God, just the name, see the face, and it's like I know him, Anders.
You've got a lot going on.
So we've got Clint.
Clint.
We got Mo.
Mo. Charlie Davies.
Who's Charlie Davies?
Tell him who Charlie Davies is, Thierry.
Jamie.
Idiots.
Are you going to do him like that?
That's tough.
Problem.
That's tough.
Oh, that's tough. That's tough, Charlie. That's tough.
Charlie! I know who you are.
We love you. We would never do that to you.
This is why we're your number one.
Exactly.
Always.
We're a team, right? Anywhere you go, we go. Right? Anywhere you go, we go.
Sure.
We're right there behind you. If we would have been there in that studio, I would have personally gone on the set and challenged Jamie Carragher to a duel. That's how much I stand for you, how much I rock with you, Charlie.
Now, Charlie, I know for you specifically, Charlie Davies, that a probably better silver lining out of all this was that Thierry Henry himself stepped in and said, Charlie Davies is my boy.
Yeah.
The God, TH14, no one better to remind someone than the greatest striker potentially of our lifetime.
Facts. So,
I got you.
No,
glass,
you know what I mean?
Half full.
I'm just happy to be in this position.
I did see you come on later, and you know, you flamed Jamie a little bit for the Sherlock Holmes get up, et cetera. So you got
tell me I'm wrong.
There you go. You got some come up. It's on the back end. Look, we won't play around too much to start. Leagues Cup details have been announced. So that leads. Sorry, no, just kidding. Decision day is Sunday, the final day of the regular season. It all comes down to this. All 28 teams in action, playoff spots in the balance. We got some win and you're in scenarios. We got some more complicated scenarios. We're going to take you all the way through it. We do know LAFC are the Supporters Shield winners. That is decided, was decided. Dennis Bwanga decided that. We don't actually know who's going to finish atop the Eastern Conference. It sounds kind of crazy because we've been talking about the Union and that Shield race for a long time, but Montreal can catch them. We'll give you all the details. We'll go through all the storylines. We've got it all to talk about here on our final show of the regular season. I'll say it again. It's the final show of the 22 regular season.
That went by fast.
Too fast. Yeah. Felt like it was going slow. Now it feels like it's going fast. Through the rest of the year, it will not slow down. Only gets crazier from here. Decision day, Sunday, 2:30 and 5 Eastern time, your game times. Eastern Conference goes off at 2:30. I do believe that kickoffs are like 2:55, and then you can extrapolate for the Western Conference as well. So there's a pregame show mixed in.
2:55?
I think so. That's
from
what I saw.
From 2 p.m. to 2:55?
2:30 to 2:55.
Yeah, 2:30. Good call.
See, this is helpful for everybody at home.
Like,
I thought it was 2, but it's 2:30. Yeah, MLSsoccer.com, the MLS app has all the details. We have a live show going on during the game. So if you want some place to go where you have a live standings, you have people sort of reacting, imbibing, and I say that because we may feel a little punch drunk at times, this decision day with you, it is going to be myself, Matt Doyle, Kalen Carr, David Goss. Where are you going?
I am going to Orlando for Orlando Columbus. So yep. I will be in the heart of it. Winter goes on. Someone's going to the playoffs. Someone is not.
And potentially, actually, both could go to the playoffs if Cincy choke. We'll talk more about that in a second. Susanna Collins is in Minnesota, who are sort of listless, rudderless, going downhill. But if they win at home, they're
in. Have you heard rumors out of training if Susanna will get the start at center back? Try and fill the hole a little?
Big question. If she could start for Orlando, maybe they would put her in as well because Antonio Carlos lost his damn mind and is suspended for decision day as well. More on that in a second. We will talk to Vanni Sartini in just a little bit. Hashtag legend, the 2021 MLS Extra Time Personality of the Year. It's a very official award that we give out that I'm not sure he knew that he won, but we will inform him of that. So come and join us for this watch party. It's going to be a good time. We're going to watch the games with you, get in the chat, ask us questions. We will go literally wherever you want us to go, live updating standings, live updating brackets. We'll constantly be trying to look at and understand what the playoffs are going to look like, depending on the results at hand. Should be a good time. All right, let's get into it, guys. Charlie, we'll start with you. You got a real rubber match there to go call. The Revs. Oh, the Revs.
Don't do that to the Revs in the Fire. Come on, man.
It could be a good game.
Could
right?
be John Duran's final time in MLS. It will potentially be Gaga Slonina's final game.
Maybe even Georgi Petrovic's final game. Could be.
I think they'll all be back next year.
Okay. All right. How hyped are you?
That's a way to really sell the broadcast, Charlie. Appreciate it.
Yeah, three young stars to watch. That's what it's about.
How hyped are you? Are you going to have like the second screen up? How are you going to, you're doing your job. You're a professional, but you also probably have the watch along show, right? That's because anywhere you go, we go, right?
Facts. But you know me, I have to focus. I got to do my thing.
Okay.
So I'll call the game, but as soon as the game is over, I am locked in. I am watching with you guys. And then, I got to get on the flight, get home, and get ready for instant replay.
Hey, this man grinds. This man absolutely grinds. He's not pampered like Jamie. All right, Dave, what are you looking forward to, man? What's the big storyline for you? You're going to follow the closest.
It should be Orlando Columbus. So it will be Orlando Columbus because I'll be there. And I'm wearing a crew shirt, which I didn't realize because it's just super comfortable. So I hope no one from Orlando is watching on YouTube.
Are we going to lose you for the final 10 minutes of the show? Or are you going to stick around?
Nice. What do you think? Wow.
Well, you're going to plan that out.
Look at comedy Andrew Weavy
just
there.
Just checking in.
Big one from him. Well, actually, we started this show in this 15th minute and 59th second. Yeah. So I only have to go the rest of the way. But I mean, it's what I was hoping for on this final weekend. And I do think when you look at the way both these teams play, the prediction of Orlando needs goals late and is throwing everything forward and it's chaos because that's the way they've looked for 4.5 years. And Columbus obviously is a team that normally gets up and then sort of sits back and lets you come after them. So I have a feeling this is going to be high intensity. Nice weather for me as well to get out of New York and go down to Florida. It's going to be fun. And there are match winners on both sides. When you look at a game like this, Facundo Torres, Cucho, Zelarayan, those are the guys you want to see with the pressure on their shoulders. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see it in person.
So right now the Crew in the playoff field on 46 points. They're tied with Cincinnati, but Cincinnati has a tiebreaker on wins. We'll get to that more in a second. Orlando below the line on 45 points. Of course, they got worked over against Miami midweek. We'll talk about that more in a second. A 4-1 loss for Oscar Pareja and his guys. Look, whoever wins is in. And if they draw and Cincy lose in D.C., well, then they're both in. And Cincy are like, oh, let's not talk about that scenario. No, look away. Yeah. We, of course, will dig in a little bit deeper on that. Charlie, stay in the Eastern Conference for me. Yes, Revs, Fire, yada, yada. But outside of that in the East, what is there to really care about, in your opinion?
Well, there's a good amount of games. I'm looking at Miami, Cincy, Crew. Obviously, Orlando versus the Crew is a massive one. We talked about this being the scenario really for about a month now. Orlando had a tough stretch of games. I knew they were going to come down. And ultimately, it comes down to this last match. So the Crew, who have struggled mightily on the road, 3-3-10 on the road. If they got to get in, because they've had so many ups and downs this year, now's your time to prove it. You win in Orlando, you certainly deserve to be in the playoffs. If you don't, thanks for coming.
Sayonara.
Thanks for coming.
Meanwhile, at the top of the East, I mean, that's a big storyline here. Montreal actually has more wins on the year than the Union do. They are 2 points back of the Union. Philly, a little bit of a blessing as far as the schedule goes. They host Toronto. They've been lights out at home, but let's say they draw. Let's say Insigne, Bernardeschi, whatever, Toronto finds a way, Pride. I mean,
they're 2-10-4.
They just got shut out at home,
and they've been absolutely blasted.
I said, let's say
they just got shut out at home against Miami.
I get it. It's just we're throwing a scenario. Let's just say, sans Bedoya, who I think has a hip flexor thing. He's not training right now, TBD. I would guess if he can, he will play. on decision day, certainly in the playoffs, no doubt about that. But let's say Philly draws, not loses, draws.
Montreal wins in Miami. Miracle. That would be a miracle. They lost their past two games on the road, 4-0 at Orlando City and 4-2 at Atlanta. You think they're going to go to Philadelphia, where Philly are 11 wins, 0 losses, and 5 draws, and you think this TFC team are going to get a result?
I mean, I'm just throwing this. Yes, it's a scenario, miracle. Chuck.
I know, but I'm saying miracle.
Okay, miracles happen. Crazy things happen in this league.
We've seen it. We talked
about Philly winning the Shield. I was predicting it. I think you predicted it too. They went to Charlotte and got it stuffed on 4 goals by Daniel Rios.
Completely different scenario.
Okay, yep. I get it.
Completely different scenario.
Fine.
You're talking about the worst defensive team in MLS coming into the touchdown leaders in MLS. And a team 42. That got shut out at home against Inter Miami. Against the best defense in MLS.
I get it. I'm just saying, if Philly somehow, miracle, whatever, draws against Toronto and Montreal wins in Miami, and by the way, Miami going for a home game, competing with the Red Bulls to get into the fourth spot in the East, then Montreal would be tied on points at 65, and they have the tiebreaker in total wins.
Which would not be good for the Union, given that they are not as strong on the road.
Yes, it's just a scenario. We'll see. Miracles can happen. By the way, Dan the Man hit us up and said, can you have Charlie talk about how much Philly is going to win the cup? He seems like he thinks he knows about things. I don't know what to make of that tweet.
I know about things.
He knows. I would assume this has to do with all of us choosing them to win Supporters Shield a week.
Yeah, yet. I'm guessing that.
Yeah.
I think Dan the Man, if I had to guess, is probably not a Philly fan. It probably wants us to jinx the Union.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's probably an LAFC fan, because I had some LAFC fans chirping at me saying, hey, you said we weren't going to win. They had a tougher draw in the schedule. Philly absolutely fumbled the Supporter Shield. But to their defense, Supporter Shield is great and all, but you got to go for MLS Cup. In a season like this, that's got to be the focus. So maybe it's one of those things where you use it.
He's a truther when it's convenient to him.
No, I'm the truther in this scenario.
All right. I'm looking at the Western Conference. We've talked a lot about the East. The West is veritably crazy. Like, it is all to play for, basically from 3 to 7 and even below, all the way to 3 to 9. 7 teams get in. You understand that basic math. At the bottom 4 teams, the 2 teams above the line and the 2 teams below the line, conveniently play each other. Nice how that works out. So Portland in 6th is going to go to Salt Lake. Minnesota in 7th is going to host Vancouver. Again, great Vanni Sartini interview coming up. Win and you're in for all those teams. If they win, doesn't matter any of the other results. They are in. Gets a little more complicated with draws, but that is the basic scenario for you. And then home field advantage, Austin know they're going to host a home game. Already sold out Q2, happened in like 6 minutes, which I actually thought was a little bit long for them. LAFC, Shield winners.
Man, Weavey, always looking for something.
I just hope
MLS Cup is in Austin. And I hope that they go to book your travel, it comes back and says TSA cannot acknowledge this person's flight.
Cannot guarantee my safety.
No, I hope that they just don't let you buy the ticket. Like, I hope you're on the whatever list where they're like, this guy, not allowed.
Got to get there first, Austin. Got to get there first. Extra time will be there wherever MLS Cup is. So looking forward to that
trip. I'll be at New York Pizza on South Congress. Shout out to the legend.
All right. Anyway, Austin and LAFC know they're hosting games. But all the way from Dallas in 3rd to Minnesota, literally Minnesota in 7th, any of those teams, depending on the scenario, could host a game in the playoffs. So that's what it comes down to on decision day. Going to be a really fun time. By the way, we had a little email here from Jason Hoover. Why does MLS use wins as first tiebreaker when every other league in the world uses goal differential? Goal differential is 2nd.
Yeah.
Goals forced is scored is 3rd, but wins is the first tiebreaker, Dave.
It's an interesting question, and I believe we can go and find it as well. I think Matt Doyle's actually put the specific numbers out there, but basically it's to, one, push teams to go for wins, because MLS is such a home advantage heavy league that you had a lot of teams fighting for ties on the road rather than opening up and trying to win games. And the numbers have shifted heavily since this got changed. So you're trying to push teams to go for wins. Also, you don't have the same type of balanced schedule that other leagues, quote unquote, have, right? Not everyone plays every team home and away straight through because you have more teams and more distance. So I don't think it's a proper comparison to other leagues. The one thing I do find curious is that head-to-head is not more important when it comes down to two specific teams against each other. But that's the reason why you have wins. We've seen it play out as being more entertaining. I think the soccer's been better since that rule changed. So that was the push behind it, and it seems to be pretty successful.
Here's a reason why. There are instances, I think, where three games are played between two teams in the same conference during a season, or there have been in the past. And if you have three games, Fair. Obviously you can't split home and away. So then that is, again, a little bit unbalanced, whereas just straight up wins, like, go get it. You have the same number of home and away games as everybody else. Now, is the schedule the same? No, but you have the same opportunities. Go get them. I like it. It forces teams to go for it late on. You're dead on. It was about the draws. It was about teams settling for draws and making the end of games just sort of feel like they lack the buzz that they need. That's the most exciting time.
And here's all you need to know. Philly has been one of, if not the best teams in the Eastern Conference, but they started the year with like six draws. And Montreal, if they finish tied, can jump them because Montreal lost games, but they pushed for wins. And that's sort of what you're looking for and what you're trying to push teams to do. We've seen it over the last few years with Nashville, where they had home games where they were sitting on ties, where they went ridiculous and opened the game up and tried to score goals because they knew the 3 points won and the win was more valuable than holding for, let's say, two ties in two games. And so that's what we've seen in MLS, and it's been more fun.
Meanwhile, the Crew have tried to hold on to wins and in the meantime have 16 draws on the year. Another on Wednesday night. Let's get the Wednesday night recap in real quick so we can set the table out east. Charlotte, their lives on the line at home where they've been very, very good this year. 10-6-1. This is one of those draws for them. 2-2. They were down. Crew were up. Crew looked like they're going to roll. When the Crew look like they're going to roll, it's going to fall apart. That's just the way it's worked this season in stoppage time. Another goal to tie the game. Charlotte almost got a winner on the broadcast. The Crew broadcaster said that's 11 points dropped in second half stoppage time this year. An all-time MLS record. Stoppage time. Had they won this game, they would be at 48 points. They could get potentially a home game. They did not win this game. This is a game in which Lucas Zelarayán had a free kick from midfield to score. They went up 2-0 and they draw.
It should have been game over.
In the group chat, Honors don't want to put you out here like this, but you said Charlotte dead, D-E-D, and then they came right back.
So he gave him that curse, that Sounders curse.
He said, don't do it to him.
Don't do it. I will say the Crew, when you see a player like Lucas Larrion and Cucho Hernandez, they have those game changers. They have players who can make those magic moments, which is needed to have a successful playoff run. Because sometimes games are ugly. You need that one player to come out with this magical moment to basically go against the grain and deliver. This Crew team, defensively, it's very simple. You lock it down. We are going to grind. Everyone's going to work together. We're going to limit set pieces, corner kicks, dead balls, all those type of situations. And if we do end up giving one away, everyone's marked up tight. No one's going to be allowed to breathe. Charlotte, you watch them play. They had runners for days, unmarked, untouched. And you're just thinking, how are you defending in this manner when everything is on the line? They know how to do it. They won the MLS Cup in 2020. They know how to do it. But it just seems like there's a lack of communication. And then you question just the desire to not allow a team to get an opportunity, to get a chance, and even a half chance. Lock it down. Foul at half. Get numbers behind the ball. Teamwork in defending. It's not aligning. And so this Crew team heading into the last game, you just say, well, if there's ever a moment that it all has to click, the attacking half and the defensive half, being a unit, this is the game. Because you have to get a draw, and you're in. A result in Orlando, and you're in.
I would say in this game, I think Charlotte, the atmosphere, the crowd, the way they played, the way they pushed, all of it is a way to go out on a high. And that's been the run this close to the season. So it feels like Christian Letanzio is going to be made the full-time manager, which he's earned, and the players have responded to. It feels like they found a lot of pieces that can be a part of a team going forward. Unfortunately for Letanzio, 2020, he's going to question not choosing to sub on Derek Jones and Daniel Rios to start this game for the rest of the offseason. If people don't remember or don't know, didn't watch, this game restarted in the 16th minute because of a weather delay. They were required to restart the same exact teams, and you could only use players who were on the bench for that original game, which for Charlotte meant they lost two starters who were not on the roster when they played originally. They lost their starting center back and right back. Then both teams had injuries. They were allowed to sub for those players. That didn't count as a sub. But Daniel Rios coming off four goals and Derek Jones coming off being their star over the last, or one of their influential pieces the last few weeks, they were originally on the bench. Letanzio chose not to replace them, which would have taken away two subs. In a moment, he did it at halftime. Game completely shifted when they came on. So I say that one, credit to Charlotte for doing that. It sucks, and there's no formula for this, right? There was no blueprint for, oh, this is how you start. Restart a game in the 16th minute now that we have five subs and the whole world has changed. I think it also takes to me just a little bit different for the crew. It wasn't the same like, we sit in. From the moment Rios got on the field, they were defending deep because they were on the road against a team that was better than them. And if it had been the full game, I think Charlotte would have won this game. This wasn't the same issue for Columbus, which doesn't make it any better. It just makes it a little different.
Do we think that, does Caleb Porter have a point at all? And after this game, he was really frustrated with the refereeing. And in particular on the first goal, the spot of the foul, Charlie. There's a foul on Swiderski in Charlotte's own half. The ball is kicked away by Darlington Nagbe. He's trying to like, hey, waste time, get back in position because the crew are pushed up there wildly out of position. Instead, Charlotte picks the ball up, puts it down, kicks it wide to the left, a little bit more space, a better passing angle, and all of a sudden it's a straight up counterattack, fast break. It's on. Daniel Rios scores.
This is one of the most ridiculous arguments I've ever heard. You are upset that your player kicked the ball away in your attacking half, and that 30 seconds later it led to a goal, and that's why you lost? That is mind-blowing that's your argument.
That's called reaching.
Yeah.
You are reaching.
Because Charlie, yes. I don't know if you noticed, but I think Neptune was a little bit shifted off at that time as well. So when you look at the flight of that ball, that may have affected it as well, which is unfair.
Was Mercury in retrograde? I don't know what that means. I just said it. I think he's stretching. I do think that that's an instance where probably that kick was taken in the wrong spot, but also the crew were up 2-1 going into the final seconds of the match and had been under pressure the entire second half. And as you said, Dave, and I completely agree, we're the second best team in this game, in particular in the second half. They've got to find a way to get that mentality shifted. But by the way, can we just say that Lucas El Rayon goal? One, Kalina, what on earth are you doing? Two, incredible technique and execution and awareness from Lucas El Rayon. If you haven't seen that full like clip and sequence, Doyle
that
put it out.
That is a golazo.
The whole thing, not just the goal, but like the 45 seconds to a minute leading up to it is just sort of mind-bending MLS after dark, midweek insanity / beauty.
Does that time frame go back long enough to the minute before when Ben Bender tried to chip Eloy Room? So it's like on everyone's mind on the field except for Kalina, yes. Which is the most ridiculous part of this.
What was he doing? We'll have to ask. It doesn't matter anymore. Charlotte are out. All right, Inter Miami, Orlando City. Inter Miami at home. They need a result. They've been rolling. Gonzalo Higuain, he's like emotional. Mm. This is it for him. And they win 4-1. Excuse me. It felt like 4-0. Early, Leo Campana. He chips the goalkeeper. And Ray Hudson loses his mind. It was a wonderful moment. And then Pipita gets two goals. He's up to 16 on the year now. Probably the most on form, the best striker in MLS right now, also fueling the Fighting Weebies. We have a 3-goal lead on Matt Doyle's squad. Well, don't need to mention what Dave and Kalen are doing in the Golden Boot draft race, but
can we talk about the defending for Orlando City and on that particular play?
You can talk about whatever you want.
But start, Charlie, with this. That's a world-class finish, right? Off your first touch and the way he slices under it. No, that's unreal from Campagna.
No one's even questioning the finish. The finish was phenomenal. What I am saying is, you start the game, you have possession, and a player tries to play around the Miami defender, and instead of playing a simple ball back to Araujo, who was standing there saying, "Hey, pass me the ball," you lose possession. And not only as the ball goes behind Antonio Carlos and Higuain, Schlegel's just standing there. He's watching this as it unfolds. And as the ball, as Antonio Carlos looks and is like, why aren't you running? Why am I running back by myself and you're just standing? Watches as Campagna runs in between them and then chips Galese. Like, what? What was Schlegel doing? Where was he? It was almost like he was pretending like he's on the bench watching the game.
Well, it's going to have to be better from Rodrigo and the entire Orlando City team on decision day. This was a huge game for them. They didn't even sniff it. Really weren't competitive. Erkankara had a goal. It was a nice goal. Facundo Torres fed him, but it was just, you know, consolation prize ultimately. And Antonio Carlos was very frustrated after allowing four goals. By the way, Ariel Lassiter with a wonderful finish as well after looking off Higuain, which takes a lot of gumption, I would say. He looked off Higuain for like 10 seconds, and Gonzalo's like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Okay, fine, you scored. Good for you. But Antonio Carlos decides he's going to like Heisman stiff arm Bryce Duke, I believe it was, for really no discernible tactical reason other than frustration. And he, as it turns out, was on yellow card accumulation. He got a yellow card and will now miss decision day. Robin Janssen was not on the bench for Orlando, Dave, because he has been dealing with injuries for a while now. There was not another center back on the Orlando City bench on Wednesday night. Who is going to play center back at home against Columbus? Antonio Carlos, what are you doing? What are we doing? I know you're frustrated, but you have to know the situation. You have to know what's at stake. There's another game.
Yeah, we actually saw a couple examples of this over the last few weeks. I think I brought up on the last show, Austin FC players starting a fight with Vancouver when you've already clinched your spot. Like, be smarter than this. FC Cincinnati did it against Chicago. Obviously, a little bit more to play for, but yeah.
Sergio Santos will not be available against DC. Right. They had their appeal denied on that.
Right. Like, what are you doing? Antonio Carlos is probably the worst of it. And it comes off the back of the defensive mistakes as well. They've played Kyle Smith in there once or twice this year. Because remember, Antonio Carlos was out for a large segment of time. Janssen's dealt with injuries. Schlegel's been really the only starter consistent for them. They also have Tommy Williams, an academy kid who we thought would be a larger part of the solution this year, and he hasn't really factored in for them. They haven't really been able to trust him. You'd also assume with the 37 D mids on this roster that they could try and Andres Pereira, Cesar Araujo type player in that role as well, Wilmer Cartagena, and try and take that risk. We've seen other teams do that this year. Either way, it's not good. Juan didn't start this game as well, which I thought was interesting. He's a massive difference maker for them, and he was a big miss. I would assume that's just trying to manage his legs over this last week. Because remember, Orlando played Sunday in New York, where Miami had played Friday in Toronto. So they had two less days of rest, and they now have to travel back and play the home game this weekend. So your hope is that's just it. But again, we see with Orlando, guaranteed. And again, you see with Orlando, they don't impose themselves on games. They don't choose the way games are played. They are at the mercy of their opponents. And when Inter Miami are efficient and clean and good, then they are at the mercy of losing 4-1 in a game like this. And so I think you saw an example of a lot of the really bad moments. I mean, the miscommunication for Schlegel and Antonio Carlos to keep Lassiter onside for Vasilev's through ball for, I believe, the second goal, maybe the third one for the cross. Like, you guys have played together now all year. It's unfortunate you're in that situation where they're coming after you, but you have to be on the same line. And that just opens up the game completely. So it was a really frustrating one for Orlando City. And now it's what, 5 losses in their last 6?
Yeah. Open Cup was a bright spot. Thought it might lead to something better than this. some momentum, something ain't there right now.
Same and team, same problems.
Yeah. All right. Let's dive into the Eastern Conference again. All games going down at 2:30 p.m. Coverage is going to be on FS1. They have their Orlando Columbus game, so go check that out. Every other game on ESPN Plus, you can watch those. And look, again, go come hang out with us on the watch along. We're going to have all the games up. If you're looking for somebody to give you alerts on what's happening in the minute, that is your second screen option to do so. We'll have live standings. We'll have the live bracket. We'll answer all your questions. We'll yell and scream and have fun.
I'm going to have the show up on my phone with a headphone in while I'm at the stadium, just so I know what's going on around the league.
And of course, we're going to have Dave and Susanna dropping in a ton as well. Okay, let's start with the battle for the final playoff spots in the East. It's a three-team race. You already know about Orlando City and Columbus. Again, FS1. If you want to watch that one, win and you're in for either team. But if you win, that means somebody loses, so they're not in. Draw would get Columbus in because they're currently a point ahead of Orlando. A draw and a Cincy loss means both these teams get in. So let's focus on Cincy here. Can Cincy get this done, or will they choke it out? The nice thing for Cincy is that they've been decent on the road. They've actually been a pretty good road team this year, 5-4-7, just four losses on the road this year. So the odds are they're going to get this done. DC already got the spoon wrapped up. They've been pretty punchless of late, but they did sort of limit opportunities for Montreal last weekend. I think Donovan Pine's own goal ended up being the difference. If there is like a positive to a home loss to the Fire when you could have sealed the playoff spot, basically, for Cincy, it is that they made a lot of bad decisions in transition moments, and they left a lot of space for the Fire, and I don't think Pat Noonan's going to let them do that again. I would imagine they are watching a lot of tape and saying, these are the moments we can't lose. We cannot give DC easy opportunities to get into transition.
I'd agree, but I would not assume. My biggest takeaway for them is if they finish their chances, Chicago goes to sleep because they're already ahead. Right, that's sort of what Cincinnati relies on, is the elite two strikers, Lucho creating chances. They were all there for them to go up 1-0, to go up 2-0 in that first half. And so I agree with you. If they go to going to DC, they're going to sit in because they know those three can create against DC's defense by themselves because it's DC, and they've shown they can do it all year. They've also shown that they'll fight for ties, right? Like they did not lose games they should lose this season. And when they've had games they should win that they didn't, they all fell to ties, not to losses, which puts them in the driver's seat to at least stay in the playoffs, not in the seating they'd want it to be and not in the fashion they'd want it to be. But they're set up pretty well for a game like this.
Do they get in, Charlie? Will Cincy be in the playoffs? I want them in the playoffs.
Yes.
I think that Cincy in the playoffs, it makes what we're going to see in the playoffs way more entertaining. Like, give me Cincy every day of the week over either Columbus or Orlando.
I don't see them choking the last game of the year at DC. I think they get in. For Cincinnati to not come away with the result, no. You don't deserve to be in the playoffs. If you lose to DC, considering they're lost, I mean, Wayne Rooney's just tactically trying to figure out what's the best way to move forward for next year, considering some of the contracts that he has to deal with that he can't move on for, you know, players that he can bring in. He's just trying to figure out what the best way to move forward with in terms of player selections next year. So you can't afford to not win this game. And yes, I hear Goss sit back and allow your three to go out and win the game. I think you can just go get that game. Push guys forward. You have enough to, one, keep possession, but two, keep them under constant pressure. Finish this game in the first half. If I'm Cincy, I'm thinking about scoring goals and being aggressive and making sure that we're pushing and just suffocating them, keeping the ball and making them chase the whole first half and end this game as quick as possible. Don't allow them to hang around. Because if they hang around, the more they hang around, the more pressure that is built within the group, and the more, you know, you're keeping an eye out on that other game between Orlando and the Crew,
hoping for a win there. If there's a win, doesn't matter. You're going to the playoffs. Who would we rather have, Dave? Crew or Orlando? Maybe I shouldn't put this to you because you're going to be there.
Yeah, I don't think put that to me.
Okay, I'll take that one. I would rather have
don't you dare throw that on me.
I would rather have put that. I would rather, and at the risk of, you know, I think Oscar was disappointed in us. You know, he didn't think we gave him fair shake when I talked to him for the show before the Open Cup. But I'm maybe going to disappoint him again. I would rather have the Crew in the playoffs.
Why is that?
I think they have more attacking talent for a neutral to watch. I would rather see Zelrayan and Cucho stay alive than like Facundo and Cara and, you know, Pereira and those guys. I just think they're a more entertaining product. And also they're a huge wild card. They make the last 20 minutes of games incredibly entertaining and fun.
I don't think there's a
single person. They could fall flat on their face. It's drama. I want drama. I don't want ho-hum. I want my God, you have to watch this because what could happen? The Crew could be world beaters.
I don't think,
or they could destroy their own world.
Out there that will disagree outside of Orlando City supporters.
I'm sure we will hear from them. And I know that you have heard from them.
Oh, they're coming for you.
Yeah. Well, I've taken the ire away from you. Battle for the top of the East. Inter Miami hosting Montreal. Philadelphia hosting Toronto. I feel like we've kind of done this already.
But we do have to add, I don't think we've been on this show since Victor Wanyama mentioned that
true.
He won't
Good
be
point.
Back. Next season, we already know Georgi Mihailovic has been sold. Let's be real. Fabrizio Romano has sold Ismael Kone himself, let alone it actually happening. And you'd assume the World Cup will change that. There's a really good chance Alistair Johnston or Kamal Miller are on that list as well. I think Alistair Johnston, it was pretty obvious in the trade, the number they gave up, that they were, it was with an eye to doing this. I like a lot of the moves Montreal has made to move on into the future. I think they've already set up a lot of pieces to be the next generation. It will not hit at the same level. If the New England Revolution have taught us anything, it is that you are going to take a step back to then take a step forward long term if you're going to sell important pieces like that and lose important pieces like that. So it really is a win now season for Montreal. And I think it shifts a lot if they get first place in the East, not just because they get to play at home and not just because they get a bye into the next round. If Philly has to keep playing and can't either be off for Alejandro Bedoya to get better or have to push Bedoya at 35 on his injury, it only improves Montreal's chances head-to-head against them as well. So this is a pretty massive weekend for those two clubs.
The scenario, we rolled through it a little bit, but just to remind you here, if Philly win, obviously they have a two-point lead right now. They would quote-unquote win the East. They would finish atop the Eastern Conference, home field advantage all the way through MLS Cup unless LAFC gets there. If LAFC doesn't get there, they would host MLS Cup as well if they got there. Now, Montreal is 2 points back. They have more wins, 19-18. So if Montreal go to Miami, which is not going to be easy, by the way, we sort of buried that side of it, which is Miami. If they win and the Red Bulls don't get the result they need, Miami could host in the first round. So if Montreal go on the road, win, get to 65, Philly are also on 65, or Philly lose, I know, Charlie, you don't entertain that as a plausible scenario in any world, then Montreal would finish atop the East. Yeah, I'm really sad to see Victor go, though. I want to just say that. He's been an awesome guy to watch in this league and a huge signing for them, and came, as he detailed when we talked to him, in a very difficult moment personally for the team, for, I mean, hell, the world. And managed to really thrive and contribute to what is one of the best Montreal regular seasons of all time. Who's going to do it, though? What do you guys think? What's the end result here? Give me a prediction.
Philly wins the East.
Philly wins the East? Because you guys don't entertain
we
the possibility.
Both already yelled at you.
Okay, fine. Philly wins the East, according to you. I'll hold out hope for Montreal. We'll see what happens. I mentioned that home playoff game. Red Bulls and NYCFC could swap spots at 3-4, but NYCFC will host. Now, where they'll host? We don't know about that one. And Red Bulls might not want to host.
We do know, by the way, right?
Where?
Red Bull Arena, first round.
Right. Okay, that is... yeah, right. Okay.
You're welcome.
Yeah, there you go. Tom Sweezy of the MLS Aces pod hit us up. Should Red Bulls not put out their strongest 11 on D-Day in hopes Miami win against Montreal so the Red Bulls can go on the road? Red Bulls, more like Road Bulls. And if you look at the records, that's kind of trolly, but not like out of the realm of reasonable strategy. What do you think, Dave? I mean, they're going to try to win, but
yeah, I think they should probably try and win.
Yeah, they're a better road team than they are a home team. That's been the case all season long. It's sort of shocking given their long history at Red Bull Arena of being dominant.
Absolutely. Again, they should probably try and win.
Yeah, could be probably the better plan. Charlotte in town, by the way, at Red Bull Arena on decision day. All right, let's go to NYCFC are going to be Atlanta United. As we said, NYCFC have a home game all locked up, so this is about seeding here. Andrew Jolson asked an interesting question. Which team's odds of winning the cup would increase the most if they can get home field advantage on decision day? He says this is an appropriate time to make fun of NYCFC.
Nice. Yeah, obviously they are not a factor in this because it does not seem like they're going to be able to host games at their first two options of stadiums for a little while. Let's go Mets. So are we only talking East on this?
Go East or West?
Because I think for East, I kind of made the argument. I think Philly being the number one seed is the most important thing that could happen. Outside of that, I think for a lot of these teams, Cincinnati are good on the road.
Miami's good at home.
I was gonna say Miami's the one. If Miami could get that home game and jump the Red Bulls, that would be the one. But Charlotte's coming to Red Bull Arena with three wins on the year and just two draws, by the way, 11 losses on the road, and they just got knocked out in a wildly emotional game midweek. So you feel like the Red Bulls, despite just having five wins at Red Bull Arena all year long, should probably try to and win that game in theory. So I think it's Miami. Below the line, it's Miami.
I'd say the big one to me in general is Dallas. They're a young team. They've been pretty bad on the road. A lot of guys are getting their first playoff experience as a unit. Like, I think they need a home game in the first round. And that puts them in potentially in the second round, which they are a team that I think can threaten. But I would be shocked if they won multiple away games to go on a run to the Western Conference Finals.
I think the Galaxy is another one. And then like Cincy and Nashville are just sort of like mind blowers where they were the same team home and away somehow.
I'd throw Portland in the home bucket.
Yeah. If Portland's going to make it,
Portland's very good at home. Yeah. Very, very difficult place to play.
Joseph's last game in Atlanta. Do we think
they got to win on the road or get a result on the road? Exactly.
They got to go to RSL and do it. Yeah. Joseph's last game in Atlanta, you think? Perhaps, Charlie? What's your prediction on that one?
Yes.
Yes.
That's
stays, stays in MLS or leaves the league?
That's 50-50.
What do you think, Dave?
I think he stays in Major League Soccer.
Alpha VA, can Inter Miami have any chance of signing Joseph Martinez in the offseason?
The question was Inter Miami?
Inter Miami. He must be an Inter Miami supporter. They will have potentially three DP spots open.
Yeah. If I was them, I wouldn't use it on him, especially if you're going to bring Campagna back. But they could. Yeah. I would assume he's one of the many players who would be happy to play for Inter Miami if the contract was correct.
Inter Miami with a lot of DP spots opening up, of course. They got their guy, Pizarro, that's not coming back. That will open up. He didn't play at all for them this year. Higuain is retiring. Then Pozuelo is a TBD, whether they re-sign him or not. We will see. A lot to decide in Miami. And before that, a postseason to get through. All right, that's the Eastern Conference. FS1 has the game. They'll be breaking in with updates as well. That's at 2:30, I believe. Again, the game starts at 2:55, but the watch long starts at 2:30. So come hang out with us. We will take you through all the scenarios, all the lineups, get you ready for decision day, and then enjoy it with you. So let's go to the Western Conference, battle for the final playoff spots. Four-team race here, Minnesota, Vancouver, ESPN+. We'll talk to Vanni Sartini in a second. This is a win and you're in. RSL Portland on ESPN2. This is also a win and you're in. A draw means Portland is in, but RSL would be out. They would stay on 45 points. They do not have the tiebreaker head-to-head with Minnesota, who also have 45 points. Again, that's wins, 13-11. The Loons have the edge there. So RSL need to win at home. They've been pretty punchless. Which of these two games is going to be more exciting, Charlie? Which is going to be more dramatic?
Dramatic for me? Oof. RSL Portland.
Why?
RSL... They know they're at home. I think they just sometimes they throw so many numbers forward. And the way they play, I think, is going to be stretched. Portland's great on the counter. I think this is going to be a great, entertaining match. And if there's a lot of goals going back and forth and RSL gets that go-ahead goal and they take the lead, Portland's going to have to play in an uncomfortable position, one where they have to be the aggressor. And typically that's not their strong suit. So I think it's going to be a lot of open field. But that's not to say that Minnesota-Vancouver is not going to be. And you know, probably Galaxy Houston, because Galaxy, they need to win as well. They want that home playoff spot. That is massive for the Galaxy. And Houston, we know how Houston has been. And they've been looked better, actually, since they've moved on from their coach. So it's going to be, I think the Western Conference decision day is going to be a lot more livelier than the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I mean, there's more going on. And to your point about RSL, since May, the only team they've lost to by multiple goals is LAFC, and then at Austin midweek. So they're always in games. They don't score, but they never get blown out. So, and mm-hmm. with this game being they need to win and get in, they're going to be in it. And Rio Tinto is electric. The crowd's going to be on their feet. They've got the towels going the whole time. It's perfect weather for them to kind of host the game, have that playoff feel. Like, I agree with you, Charlie. I think this game's going to be 90 plus minutes where RSL has a shot the entire time and it'll be tight. I do think Vancouver is set up to beat Minnesota. I've said this a lot over the last few weeks. It's not a coincidence to me that Austin, Galaxy, and Seattle are the three teams they beat in a row. They want to sit deep. They want to counter. They want to be very direct. All three of those teams want the ball and struggle with that. Minnesota has been a sieve defensively at center back. They struggle with speed. They don't keep their team compact. And Reynoso wants touches. So Vancouver, I think, goes on the road. They are set up to play, but Minnesota's the home team. And every MLS home team has an advantage. I think both of these have really tasty bits to them. I think they're both going to be alive until late on. I think Vancouver has a really good shot at making the playoffs.
And that's not just because we enjoyed our conversation with Vanni Sartini. What's your prediction on these? Who gets in? Who rounds out the playoff field? Because we know the top five are all getting in. It's just a seeding question. Minnesota or Vancouver? Those for the loons say, or whatever a loon call sounds like.
I'm going to hit him with the woo, the loon.
I think it's kind of creepy. It's like,
hey, I'm from New Hampshire. We have loons too. I will say, I think Minnesota at home, with their backs against the wall, they get the job done.
Okay.
And
all it takes is a draw, right?
Exactly. They get the job done. RSL Portland, on the other hand, every part of me is telling me Portland, but yeah. RSL are so damn good at home. They're 8-3-6. They grind out results. They defend as a team. It's going to have to be an incredible performance for them.
Who's going to score?
They figure it out. They've figured it out to put themselves in this position, not having like a true striker. It's pretty damn impressive. I mean, Pablo Mascherani has given them a foundation. They didn't have a foundation. Now, he's built that, but to take them over the top, they obviously need to add some players to this roster. But given that, I think he's really motivated and inspired this group to be playing at a super high level to make them competitive. So I salute RSL, given that their roster isn't built like the others in this conference. You're looking at LAFC, Austin, Dallas, even Galaxy, Nashville. So I'm going to go out there and say RSL gets it done.
Okay. At home. You agree, Dave? You disagree?
No, I don't. I take that back. I was trying to will it in. I was trying to will it
you
in.
You were, okay.
And then I said, no, it's not. I think this ends in a draw.
Charlie, I think I echo most of what you said. I will still throw this out there. I understand that there was probably a huge element of Toronto working with Alejandro Pozuelo to send him where he wanted, but RSL paid more in trade value for Danny Musovski than Inter Miami traded for Alejandro Pozuelo. So while they do work on a budget, there was talent out there available for them. Fine, but still, what were you doing that entire time?
So you're saying, why didn't they get a Pozuelo instead of a Danny
Why didn't
Musovski?
They get Alejandro Pozuelo?
Yeah, that's
he
what I'm saying.
He was in this league, yeah. Yeah. And other pieces. Where were they in the Julian Carranza conversations when there was a DP striker that was out there and available? Where were they in the Giassi's artist conversations? I'm not saying that they had to make all those trades, and I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm just saying, yes, they operate in a different budget.
Yeah.
Where were they in these opportunities that they had out there? Jamiro Montero.
100%.
I, in saying all of that, think that Vancouver will go to Minnesota and win. But if Minnesota comes out in the back five with Kamar Lawrence tucked in and Robin Lud in there, okay, that gives me more confidence in Minnesota. And I think that RSL will struggle to get the goals again. And I mean, who was created better in the world of MLS to get a draw on the road to make the playoffs than Gio Savarese's Portland Timbers?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna say Vancouver, late season magic. That's Vanni Sartini's specialty. And then I think it's a draw. I think it's a draw. And
you think Minnesota Sandy. Loses at home?
I do. Yeah. I think they're just cratering, wow. Man. I think the crater is complete.
All right.
Prepare for impact.
I'm going loons. Nice. And I'm going loons in Portland. Although I will say this, if Minnesota don't make the playoffs, will there be some considerable changes next year?
To the squad, yeah. But Adrian Heath signed a contract extension this year.
Reynoso signed an extension as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. Yeah.
To the squad.
There'll be to some the big changes.
Yeah. It will be necessary. Okay. One thing we need to say.
Wait, did Charlie stamp his name on the East? Cincinnati, Columbus, and Orlando?
Yes, I did. I said that Orlando's not getting into the playoffs.
So Columbus and Cincy lock.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. Here's something that we need to say. I'm sure everybody has read, seen, been reading about the coverage and the investigation itself from Sally Yates. Portland Timbers made big changes to their front office this week. The main one on the soccer side is that Gavin Wilkinson, longtime head of their sporting department there, was relieved of his duties. He was fired. I would say, look, go out and read this report. Go read coverage of the investigation. It is heartbreaking. It is infuriating stuff. Yeah, there are a lot of women in this game that have been treated in a despicable way, I think, in a way that, as I said, really breaks your heart. And as I think Commissioner Don Garber said in his statement on this, things have to change in our soccer culture. It seems like this investigation is a good first step. Ned Grabovoy, by the way, takes over the sporting side for the Timbers. So that's who will lead that on that side going forward. And Karina LeBlanc is on the side for the Thorns as well. Okay, let's talk West, the battle for home playoff game. And it is truly a battle royale. There are five teams that could go up or down, starting with FC Dallas on 50 points, all the way down to Minnesota on 45 points. We talked about who needs it the most, but who will get those home games? Like, if Dallas and LA get the results they need, they will roll through. Dallas on decision day, so many games, trying to remember. Dallas is at home, I want to say.
Yeah, I think they host SKC.
Tough draw for them, though.
Yeah.
SKC, super, super hot. Willie Agata, must-watch player in this league right now. And then LA go to Houston. Houston on decision day, not always the best thing for the Galaxy, just saying. Tough history there. Nashville go to LAFC. That's a little rough for them, but at least LAFC have the shield locked up. So maybe Steve Cherundolo says, I mean, take the foot off the gas pedal just a little bit.
Yeah, just rotate the lineup, start Seba Mendez, Gareth Bale. Yeah,
you have a break. So they're going to play their best 11.
Fair. The joke was their second best 11 is
yeah, I know.
Better than a lot of people. You didn't like my joke, Charlie.
Yeah, it wasn't.
No, I liked it. I was just, let's get the best LAFC team out there.
And then obviously we talked you through Portland and Minnesota. What do you think? LA Galaxy in Houston. Do they get the job done? Do they get a home game?
No.
They need to.
You said no.
Yeah, I said no.
Why?
This is still a soft team. That RSL game, they got two penalty kicks. They gave up more chances than they created overall. This is still a team defensively soft. Fafa Pico and Sebas Ferreira are playing like they have something to play for.
Well, they do.
Yeah, fair. Well, Ferreira, I mean, he does, but he's probably locked in for next year. This is a Galaxy team that still beats themselves, still makes mistakes. They're defensively soft across the back four. The two best defenders on the team are attackers, right? Like Julian Araujo and Raheem Edwards, what they bring to the teams in the attack. So none of that has changed. I think they'll play probably with a little bit of relief here, right, Charlie, that we haven't seen them do on decision days because they don't need to win. And so there's probably a different element, and Ricky Pooch has completely changed this team in the attack, but... Yeah, I won't be surprised when the Galaxy drop points.
If only Charlie had warned us that Ricky Pooch was going to be a game changer in this league. That would have been a really valuable piece of information.
I feel my erasure here, but I know Charlie needs some W's today, so I'm here for it.
Yes, yes, Charlie, you told us. You told us.
I know.
How about Dallas? Dallas home against Sporting Kansas City, Charlie. Do they keep their home playoff spot?
No.
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 Mm. That would mean that you think Nashville go to LAFC and win.
Yeah. They keep their home playoff spot, but they don't beat Sporting Kansas City. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying Sporting Kansas City are they're in a good flow right now. And it's because they have a striker in Agata, and then Tommy in the midfield has been a game changer for them as well. So it's almost like, where was this Sporting Kansas City team from the get-go? I know they're a missing player, so they finally, out of desperation, finally brought some players in, and those players are making a difference. So for me, I think Sporting Kansas City, Agata is a game changer for them at striker. Just his ability, and I think he's more aggressive. He's strong. He makes hard runs in the box, and he's a proven finisher now for them. So for me, I think Sporting Kansas City go and get a result against Dallas.
And if Dallas get a draw, obviously, given their position in the standings, they will still get a home game.
Yes.
And they would stay, by the way, in third with a draw as well, because nobody can get to 51 points, which is where they would get.
Big news for them. Alan Velasco has been in training this week. I think, to me, that's the other big factor here, is like, if they can get one more home game, maybe sneak another game to give him another week to get healthy and not have to push him for 90 minutes on the road or whatever it would be. I just think that makes this team so much better, because there's no question their best 11, their best opportunity to win in the playoffs, has Alan Velasco starting alongside Jesus and Paul Arriola.
Arriola back, obviously, as well, after being suspended against the Rapids. Dallas went to Colorado, lost 1-0 on last weekend's round of games. Okay. All right. I think that's where we're at, man. I mean, it's all to play for. We can talk through the scenarios. We can tell you about that stuff. We can make predictions. It doesn't really, it will only hold water until the games start on Sunday. So again, 2:30 p.m. Eastern is when the coverage of the Eastern Conference starts. I think game time is about 2:55 on FS1.
You are correct. MLSsoccer.com kickoff time confirms 2:55.
Okay. Well done to me. I read that and I repeated it. I can do that. And then the Western Conference goes right afterwards. Live watch along on the MLS YouTube page and Twitch the entire time with myself, Kaylin Carr, Matt Doyle, special guests, Goss, as well as Susanna. We will be starting at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time with all the lineups, all the scenarios, the live brackets, everything else, doing some look-ins. We will not have live games. So look, we can't show you the games. Broadcast rights, yada, yada, yada. But we can show you the highlights. So we will be showing you the highlights. Any goals, any saves, any crazy moments, like that'll be right there for you. So if you're focused on your team's game or you're watching the national TV game, we'll have all those pop-ins for you all around the league. In between games, we'll break it all down, look at the Western Conference lineups, et cetera, et cetera. It should be a really good time. Okay, let's hear from Vanny Sartini, then we'll talk Leagues Cup. Vanny, one of the most interesting, frank interviews in the league. Take it away. All right, time now for an AT&T 5G call to the field. Out to British Columbia, Vanny Sartini, our personality of the year for the year 2021. Vanny, we'll ask you maybe who you think 2022 should be in just a little bit. But decision day, it's all to play for. Win and the Whitecaps are in. Where are you emotionally right now on this Thursday morning?
I'm excited. I look forward to Sunday. We are in a position that we just were dreaming of. Like a few weeks ago, we were very good. We were also a little lucky because of the results. So now we need to do the last step. We see the peak of the mountain. We have to do the hardest part.
So talk to me about when this all changed for Vancouver. I mean, you beat Galaxy 3-0. On September 14th, and it seems like that's the confidence you needed to head into this run. I mean, it's been incredible. What's been the difference maker? Is it just one player? I know Ryan Gauld has been special, or is there been a number of things that have happened?
Well, you know, I would say two things. One, it's we felt that our chance were very little. So I said to the guys, let's concentrate game by game by game, and let's try to play our best game possible on each game, not thinking about the playoff, not thinking about the standings, because that was the best way to finish the season. And I think that this took off a little the pressure on the guys on, okay, we have to make points, we have to go, we have to, let's see the line. And they played a little bit with more focus on the task of each game. The second thing is that for the first time in the season, knocking wood, we didn't have any injury. So we were all there. And so even the level of training was top because we were all the players there and they were all pushing each other to try to be the best. And then we had our best players in the best form. You're talking about gold in the last three games. It was amazing, to be honest.
You mentioned having everyone healthy, but you didn't have everyone available. Lucas Cavallini obviously suspended for a large stretch in that, but then comes in and scores the huge goal late on in the last game. Who is Lucas Cavallini to this club, and sort of what is his space in this Vancouver Whitecaps team?
Well, Lucas is he's a big personality and is someone that this fight, this will that he has inside himself is one of the strength, but also sometimes it also can be his weakness because he can get a little bit carried out too much and he does some stupid things sometimes. But I have to be honest, in the duration of the season, he was a pillar for us because, you know, he very good at training every time. He was playing or he wasn't playing. He was always there for the group. He scored 9 goals, maybe 10, and his performance were good. So we're happy that he's back, and we're happy that he's going to help us in this final stretch.
I know we're talking present. I can't help but think about the future with Lucas Cavallini. There's always rumors. Is there a possibility that this is it for him in Vancouver?
Well, that's a question for the club more than for me. You know, it's such a big player that contract and everything. For sure, they will discuss at the end of the season. But to be honest, at the moment, no one's thinking about it. The only way that we think now is let's try to go to the playoff and have this kind of discussion as late as we can.
Let me my dreams. I want that camera on the wall ahead of the game. I've seen some of your pregame speeches before. I've seen the way you're gesticulating and you're hyping people up. Like, people will run through a wall Kool-Aid man style for you, it seems like. Have you thought at all about what you'll say ahead of decision day on Sunday? Or is this just something that comes to you in the moment? You don't prep, you just let emotions reign supreme.
I haven't thought it yet. I actually prep that pre-game speech when the team is warming up. So that's where I take something that happened maybe even in the morning or something that if I feel that I have to see something to push them up or to calm them down. Well, calm them down doesn't work because I'm always so riled up that it's like that. But it's more the spur of the moment most of the time.
Last time you've played Minnesota, you lose 3-1 at home. You scored the first goal and then they scored 3 late goals. What's the difference this time? Have you learned anything from that first match to prepare for you better prepare for this one?
Yeah, the big learning is that you need to play 90 minutes. In the last game, we were very good for 75 minutes. We were winning 1-0. And up to that point, their best player was Dwayne Sinclair, their goalkeeper. And so we were deservingly up, and maybe we should have been 2-0 up. The problem is that we conceded a goal, and we stopped playing. And with the quality they have at top, especially Reynoso, but also Frangapane, Amarilla, Lod, they can create everything at any moment. You need to be on a level of focus, on a level of attention at 100%. We showed in the last games and also in the other games, the big game that we won this season, when we won in Dallas, when we beat LAFC at home, when we won the Cup, beating Toronto in the final, that for us, everything goes through the defensive organization and be focused for 90 minutes. If you're able to do this, I think we have a chance Sunday.
You're on a roll. You're going in the upward trajectory. They're going the opposite way. Does that have any effect in this game? I know in the playoffs, we always talk about it as players. If we can go in the playoffs on a run, we're better suited to make a deep playoff, hopefully, push.
Minnesota is going the opposite way, and this could ultimately end their season.
I know, but I don't think too much about that because we were in the same position 2 weeks ago. We were coming from three losses in a row after being inside the playoff. That would have been okay. Now the Whitecaps are done, and then magically we found the way back. So they could do it too. So I think the critical part will be even the start of the game because they will try to find the confidence that they probably missed in the last game. I know also that they are a different team away from and home, and they play home with their support. So I think that we need to match their intensity at the beginning because they will try to get into the game and to get confidence as soon as they can, and we need to match them up at the beginning of the game.
You mentioned being a different team home and away. That's certainly been the case for the Whitecaps this year. Home, 10 wins, away, just 2 wins. You got to win away. What's been the issue away from BC Place? Why haven't the results come? Because it's not just 2 wins, it's 10 losses as well.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is that, 2 things I would say. The first thing is that we are a very young team. And emotionally, we feel much more comfortable at home. And when we are a little bit... under pressure, the help of the fans, the help of being home, really, 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 really help a lot, and the guys perform much better at home. The second thing is, I would say, a learning point for me. You mentioned the 10 losses. The 7 were the first 7 games. The first 7 games away, we lost. And I think that the reason why was because of... I tried to be overly aggressive away and to have the same kind of approach that we have at home and trying to be the team even when you're away. And I think that MLS is still a league where the home advantage is very important because of the travel, the change of condition, the change of the time zone and everything. And you need to be very smart and very organized. The 2 games that we won away and the other best performance, the tie in Cincinnati, the tie in Nashville, the tie in Salt Lake, it's because we were very organized and we didn't, I would say, get excited from the first minute trying to win the game from the start.
The other thing you didn't have in the first 7 games was Andres Cubas. What has he brought to this team? And this is a trope we have often. Diego Chara, last year James Sands in MLS Cup playoffs. Defensive midfielders are key in Major League Soccer. How does he compare to some of the other ones you guys have planned for and played against?
Well, I think he's one of the top. I think, to be honest, in terms of winning the ball back, helping the pressing, being... doing what I ask him tactically to do and doing in the position that he has to do to the tee is one of the best in MLS, in my opinion. I think he needs to improve in when we win the ball back, he needs to make the better choice, even the humble choice sometimes, and pass the ball closer and to keep us in possession. That's the part that he needs to improve to become like... I would say not dominant, but let's say important, like Chara has been for Portland and for the last years.
What about Ryan Gold? We had a little tease there, but he's one of these interesting 10s. And in this league, you sometimes see sort of like, hey, this is like a traditional 10. Give me the ball. I'm going to dictate possession, play, where the play happens. Ryan Gold's more of a two-way player. He can be a goal scorer. What have you seen working with him? What makes him special?
What makes him special is that the DP that he plays for the team. That he is a DP that plays with the hunger and with the humility of a supplemental roster guy. So that's the strength of Ryan. That's his quality, but is how he applies himself defensively, how he really does what the team needs, how he really does. The tactical part, following every instruction. And I think that is I would say, an example for the other player. I think he has been instrumental, because that's what we've done. We show him, we show clip of him to Pedro Vite in order to make him understand, if you want to be a number 10 in this league, you need to be intense and apply defensively in this, like he is, and likely is picking up.
Well, I know you're talking about a player growing. Let's talk about yourself, because it seems like you're continuing to learn and adapt and make changes and look how you've gotten your club to now be in this position to potentially play yourselves into the playoffs. How have you grown? Where have you started to, you know, build off of what you did last year?
Yeah, I think that it was a very good year for me to grow as a coach. You know, the first 8 games were a disaster. We were dead last and in with 4 points. And that's the other thing that I wanted to say before, that, okay, we did a good run in the last 3 games, but actually in the last 25 games, I think we are number 2 or 3 in the Western Conference. We just started in a disastrous way for the first 8 games. And it taught me a couple of things. First of all, the importance of preseason in this league. I think we botched preseason. We made the wrong choices. And that's the reason why we are already preparing the thing as best as we can for next year, in order to be ready from the start. And the second thing is that we were doing not well the first 8 games. We had an international break. And what I did was a lot of meetings, even individual meetings, with members of the staff and all the players. And, you know, I came last year in and we were winning every game. And sometimes you can feel yourself, oh, I'm a genius. Whatever. Yeah. And then it's not true. And having the feedback of the players to say, yeah, everything is good, but maybe we could do this. And at the end, taking my own decision, but also taking in account what they wanted, it has been a huge growth for me.
When you talk about preseason and botching it, just for the listeners, is that going to a wrong place, a wrong facility? Is it getting tactics wrong? Is it pushing guys too much or not enough? What goes into preseason in your mind?
We made the choice because, you know, if you remember at the beginning of the season, there was still a little bit of cloud, the thing on the border and going to United States, coming back. So we made the decision to do the first weeks in the first 2-3 weeks in Vancouver with no, I would say, meaningful opposition, doing a lot of training and not too much meaningful game. And I think that was the thing that made us unprepared at the beginning. You know, we didn't have meaningful games in preseason against either MLS opponents or Mexican opponents or Northern European opponents that in January they have the preseason, and you must have it because you must have the rhythm. We went to the first 4 games, and the first our first 4 games was our preseason, and we made 1 point. If we have a regret, that's the regret in case we don't make the playoff.
I want to ask you a question outside of the Vancouver Whitecaps. You're being reflective, and obviously your expertise is in coaching, training coaches. You said last week you thought Josh Wolf was coach of the year in MLS. We've had this debate over and over. Steve Cherundolo won a trophy his first year. What Wilfred Nancy's done, Jim Curtin, Pat Noonan. There are a lot of options.
Phil Neville. We got to get Phil Neville in there.
Yeah. Well, we're not putting you in there, Vanny, because we don't want you to have to talk about yourself. Why did you say that, and sort of how do you see a award like that breaking down and how you would give it away?
I say Josh for mainly 2 reasons. The first reason is that he started a project last year and he kept working on his idea, even if the results weren't that good in the first year, because he believed in it. And with a couple of adjustments, he was able to give a team a clear identity, and they played a really nice brand of football. And you know, they really I would say, entertain with an idea, and you can see clearly the hand of the coach there. Like, I have to be honest, Philadelphia, Jim Curtin in Philadelphia, and because that's the same kind of process. They work, and they arrive to have this kind of great result. The second reason why I say Josh, because Josh is my friend. That's
you just said you destroyed him. I just watched the press conference the other day. You were like, we destroyed Austin.
Yeah, we destroyed Austin. they destroyed us. We lost 3-0 in the. It was the lowest point of our season. So it means, the way to be a true friend is to really push when you play against them.
Yeah, payback. Yes.
All right. We know you got training coming up. I got to just ask you straight up. When and you're in Minnesota. If the Vancouver Whitecaps get in, you'll have an opportunity. I think you can definitely call this season at least a success on that front. If you don't get into the playoffs, is this season a success or a failure or someplace in between?
Oof, I would, to be very short, someplace in between. There's a lot of factor to weigh in. Like, I'm reading a book of my favorite economist, Thomas Piketty, and he said about when you talk about the country and the economy, the GDP is not just an indicator. You need to have a lot of indicators. So even for the team, you need to have a lot of indicators. I would say that we did very well in the Cup. We won a Cup. We won a trophy. We're in the Champions League. So, okay, it's a fantastic season. But then we did very bad at the beginning. It's a bad season. We were a little bit of a roller coaster in the middle, and then we're very good now. So I would say that if we qualify at the end, is a good season.
A massive success.
If we don't qualify, it's a sufficient season. We still won a trophy. I want to remember that. I know that it's not MLS, but the Canadian Championship is important and qualify us for the Champions League next year.
It's a trophy. It also qualifies you to compete for another trophy. MLS Cup playoffs, will the Vancouver Whitecaps be in? I actually have one more. Where is the number one Vanni Sartini, an Italian Vancouver Whitecaps fan, going to watch this game? How will your dad be consuming decision day match?
He's very happy because it was a long time that the game was always at 4 a.m. It's going to be 11 p.m. in Italy, so he doesn't have to wake up. So I don't have to send him a text before the game to say, hey, wake up and watch the game. But it will be there, of course, with the jersey, everything, and supporting it. And even if we win, I'm going to receive a text, let's say, yeah, but here, but there. It's like, he's the best fan, but also he's the worst critic too. So
That's the way it works. Yep. That's dad's nature, man. Can we start a book club, by the way, Vanny? We used to have an Extra Time book club. It sounds like the literature that you're on here. I mean, I think we could have a very interesting sort of mind-expanding book club with you.
Yeah. But let's do it. I'm all down for it.
All right, MLS Book Club with Vanny Sartini. In the meantime, get out of here, Vanny. We know you have training to run.
Good luck.
Game coming up on Sunday in Minnesota. Thank you so much for joining us, Coach.
Fantastic, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, big thanks to Vanny for coming on and admitting he botched preseason. I we have to have a book club with this man. Bring it back so I can read 35 pages, right, Dave?
Facts.
Yeah. Never forget. Never forget. All right, let's talk Leagues Cup and get on out of here. You'll know. I've already said it. Coverage of Decision Day. MLSsoccer.com, the MLS app, of course, the live show. Watch along. We'll be right there with you experiencing all of it on YouTube Live and Twitch starting at 2:30 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Leagues Cup details for 2023. 77 matches, 47 clubs, 4 weeks, July 21st to August 19th. Leagues Cup 2023. It is here. We have the details. The MLS Cup and the Liga MX champion, I think it's like best point aggregate between Apertura and Clausura. Both of those get buys into the knockout round, which is a round of 32 to start. So 16 matches and it'll whittle itself down. There'll be 45 teams that start out in the group stage, 15 groups, 3-team groups. You can do that math. Divide them into 4 regions, East, West, South, and Central. The top 15 MLS teams after the MLS Cup champion will host those games at their venues. It's going to be seeded. So you have 1 through 15 there. And then the top 15 Liga MX teams are seeded. So like if you are the number 2 seed Liga MX team, you are going to be in a group with like the 15 seeded MLS team, et cetera. We'll figure out this more later. But what you can basically count on here is that it's not going to be like best teams against best teams in the group stage. It'll be proper seeding the way that you would see it in any other tournament. You will have two games. They'll all go straight to PKs after regulation. If you draw through regulation, both teams start with a point. If you then win the PKs, you get 2 points. If you win in regulation, you get 3 points. Teams will play from 2 to 7 games. Depends on how far you go in this competition. Yeah, should be really fun. And then, of course, the rewards are third place match. They qualify for CCL. Both clubs in the final qualify for CCL. And the League's Cup 2023 champion goes directly to the round of 16 in the expanded CCL format that will change going forward. So I'm excited about it. I've been excited about it for years. We've known something like this was coming. I think any game between MLS and Liga MX is a joy. And then if you add a competitive element to it and you sort of take out the distraction of league play and teams can truly focus on it, I think it's a really special thing. If you don't go far in the competition, you will have an opportunity in the middle of the season to get a little bit of a breather and prepare for the stretch run. Or if you're a Mexican team, to prepare for the start of the season on your side. I've always been a League's Cup guy. I continue to be one, and I am juiced.
Yeah, you could really tell.
What? Come on, I can't have 150 audible intensity.
I think
all
you
the
should
time.
Be careful about using the word always, because I've got receipts.
Do you?
Yeah. Just relax.
What receipts? Ooh.
Just relax, Weeby. Someone here has a pink League's Cup Ball Boy t-shirt from year one when someone else was like,
don't someone else me right now. I've okay. always been on this.
Okay.
I've always cool. been on this train. You go find realize. Your receipts. I'm your tax man right now. You go find okay. your receipts, you bring them back to me. All otherwise, right. the
come,
IRS
come,
is not going to
come with them, Goss.
Yeah, we're not, the IRS them. Doesn't count them. In
he's
your mind, those ones
challenging
like, yeah, you
your
said
receipts.
This at a different yeah. date. No, we're not counting that.
Okay.
It's not how it works.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. It's just when do you get to see something? This is unprecedented. So that alone is going to be special. And we already see, as you said, on the field, but off the field. We've been to CCL final. Campeones Cup was in New York this year. I went last year. I think you've both been to a couple. When you bring a Liga MX team into a market, it excites people who are getting to see the team they grew up with. It connects people. Last year, Cruz Azul in Columbus, there was a Cruz Azul fan group from Chicago that came down. So I'm really excited to see this just across the country and Canada at the same time going on. And group stages are fun because every goal matters, right? The goal I score at the end of this game affects that third team. And then you now have to reverse it in the next game. So that's going to be really fun to watch play out, I think, at that high level, professional level, and just sort of for the first time watching everyone feel this out.
How do you think the players are thinking about League's Cup right now, Charlie?
Another competition to prove yourselves in. So I like that you get to play a different team from a different league. Like that would excite me. It's a special game because you get to kind of challenge and see where your level is, where that compares to some of the top players in Liga MX.
I will say this. It is not by any means, and you know this if you listen to the show, have watched CCL in the past, it's not by any means is it not a guarantee that MLS is going to come out and just like show really well, certainly not dominate. Like, I think that's the best part about this competition is that instead of seeing just like 1 through 5, and you know, you can talk about whether it is the true top 5 teams in MLS, given how the spots are awarded. We're going to see every single team in MLS and everyone in MLS and Liga MX as well have to measure themselves against each other. We just haven't had that measuring stick ever. Haven't had these matchups. When we have had them, they've been, look, let's be honest, previous League's Cup, was there an element of competitiveness? Yes, of course there was. Was it a true competition? I don't think you can credibly say that, which you can now. We are going to find out more about where all of our teams stand against each other by measuring each other against each other. Like, and there may be times where it's like, hey, this is not good enough. Like, MLS may come to the table and be like, hey, our rosters are not at a level where we can truly compete. And that would be a bummer. I don't want to see that. But I do want to see what happens if that is the case and MLS is forced to compete in a different way as it pertains to building those squads against Liga MX. I want to see both these leagues sort of rise together. And I think this is a really, both on the sporting side, and obviously, like we all know about the business side of it as well, I want to see that happen. So this relationship has always made sense to me, that they've sort of put it in stone and have a trophy to show for it at the end. Makes sense as well. Anders is dragging me over my use of the distraction of league play. That was maybe a poor phrase on my part, but it's just to say that there's a focus around Leagues Cup that wasn't there before in this competition or CCL because there were other games that managers and players had to account for.
And look at what happened. Look what happened this year. Montreal lost their first three games of the season. Seattle missed the playoffs. CCL and MLS at the same time. It's just tough to manage. So this will just be a different way to see it play out, which I think will be really cool. And I think the proof out of Campeones Cup and Leagues Cup this year, especially the Leagues Cup showcase where it was spread out a little bit differently. I don't believe that it'll be that MLS rosters can't compete. I think what's going to be awesome is watching all the players on the field together. I think you're going to even connect the players even more in terms of Zeller Ayon coming to MLS and, you know, Edson Flores going back to Liga MX. I think that's going to happen at an even higher level because you'll have more data points of how this guy competes against your league, how our guy competes against their league. I think that's going to happen. And then it also, you look at the Gigantes and the Giants in both these leagues, they're going to start to push each other. Tigres pushed the envelope in Liga MX because they wanted to win internationally. That brought the level from Monterrey. That lifted the level from Club America. Now they're going to do it against an LAFC and an Atlanta and all these teams, Toronto, that have spent differently and bring in a different caliber of players. And as you said, I think both will rise together.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. And who knows?
Seattle Anders, that's not even a playoff team.
Come on, man.
Atlanta and Toronto, those are big-time clubs.
Jeez. Haven't competed. No, Anders. They haven't actually competed internationally yet. It hasn't happened yet. Club World Cup hasn't happened. So once that happens, you can put that feather in your cap. But until then, hold on.
International is anything outside the U.S.
So what do they compete in internationally?
CCL. They won it.
Oh, come on. Other teams have competed. Oh, well, we're breaking down honors in the chat right now. This ain't how the show's supposed to go.
God.
I will also say, and you'll laugh at us right now, maybe there's some rivalries that get created over the years if you have it broken down into regions. That'd be pretty cool, too. All right. That's it for us. Decision Day on Sunday. Come watch the show with us. We'll, of course, have full coverage of Decision Day the Monday after, and then we'll be with you for the playoffs as well. Here is the stretch run. It has arrived. Enjoy, everybody. We'll see you on Monday. Adios. See you on Monday. Adios.